This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. GOP presidential hopefuls took the stage in Houston last night, and the debate quickly devolved into this.
Can somebody attack me, please?
Okay, here, Wolf.
Ben Carson begging his fellow candidates to make a jab at him, the only way you can get attention in this field these days, with just 3 days until Super Tuesday. Is Trump's path to the nomination certain? And what's happening on the Democratic side? Could Bernie or Hillary stop Donald Trump? Political junkie Ken Rudin joins me. Welcome back, Ken.
Oh, my. Did you watch that debate?
I heard all about it.
I'm still recovering. I found myself screaming at the TV and screaming at Wolf Blitzer.
What were you screaming about? Talk about that first.
Well, for example, Wolf Blitzer, what is a moderator supposed to do? A moderator, he asked a question and then let them fight in with insults and personal back and forth for 10 minutes with no regard for the rules. And it was just a schoolyard little fracas. That there just went on and on, and there was just a lot of heat, not much light, but it just showed how desperate the Republican Party, or at least a good segment of the Republican Party, is to blunt the gains that Donald Trump is making, especially, as you say, with Super Tuesday coming up on, what is it? It's Tuesday, right?
It's Tuesday, and it seems what these candidates are saying, at least the other candidates, are saying, look, we're going to have to be just like this guy, which it does raise questions about your leadership to say, if that's the kind of thing that works, I guess we'll do it too. But you're right, it does have a kind of quality that makes you wonder about the adulthood of it all.
But think of how it's been going so far. Donald Trump has been saying incendiary thing after debate after debate, and everybody says, okay, he is crossing a line, he can't possibly do this anymore. Voters will wake up, and then he wins in New Hampshire, then he wins in Nevada, then he wins in South Carolina. And right now, if you look at the terrain of the 12 states or so that's up on Tuesday, aside from Texas, where he's neck and neck with Ted Cruz, he looks like he's leading in everything. So I think that the strategy of last night's debate basically has been, like, for the longest time we've ignored him, and those who have taken him on, like Jeb Bush, well, where is Jeb Bush today? Is because Donald Trump, destroys him. So they felt that, to beat Donald Trump is to become Donald Trump. And I thought Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz were very aggressive going after Trump's misstatements in the past, his hiring practices, his personal ethics, and Trump seemed very flustered.
Marco Rubio, again, you're looking for traction. Rubio and Cruz looking for any way in which they can sort of hold Trump accountable. Here's Marco Rubio on Trump's fortune.
If he hadn't inherited $200 million, you know where Donald Trump would be right now?
No,
watches in Manhattan.
All right, so what about that, though? I mean, you talk about this. All of this stuff is well known. We know Trump is a billionaire. We know he inherited his wealth. Some of us have seen the reports that he could have done better if he just left his money on Wall Street because he's lost more money than he's gained. We know all this. And so what does this do in terms of and his polls keep going up?
Well, the reason I'm screaming at the TV. I mean, look, he's been married 3 times, and he gets the evangelical vote of South Carolina. Jerry Falwell Jr. endorses him, and given his pro-choice for many years on abortion, now he's pro-life. He in South Carolina, he calls George W. Bush a liar, says we got involved in the war in Iraq based on lies that 9/11 happened and the World Trade Center fell under George W. Bush. Now, those are not uncommon arguments in this country. Michael Moore makes them all the time, but you don't hear that by a Republican candidate in a Republican state at a Republican debate. So I mean, we know the things about Donald Trump's past, but sometimes maybe Cruz and Rubio say, one, the hour is getting late, because if he runs the table on Tuesday, then it could be over. And two, it could be a disaster for the Republican Party in November. Or maybe it's not. I mean, there's no reason to predict anything anymore. 6 months ago on your show, we were talking that this is just a carnival act. This was just entertainment. And now we're talking about that he may be the clear nominee of his party. It's just so predicting is not
You were saying that. You were saying that. I will tell you this, Ken. You were saying that, and I was saying, you know, things have changed in America, and I think a guy like Trump is actually gaining traction. I would just want to point that out.
No. I'm agreeing with you.
But I mean, 6 months ago, you're right.
Missing it, but there's no way this could possibly happen.
And it has become a circus, absolutely. And you're screaming at the set because it's no longer about issues. If it ever was, the pretense was off by last night. And Donald Trump is saying, "What's wrong with that? I'm bringing people to the sets."
The good news is for the Republican Party, the Democrats are getting very poor numbers in terms of bringing them in. We're getting record-setting numbers. I think I have something to do with that.
All right. There you go.
Me, the great opera singer. Me.
It's working. Trump attacked Cruz for his lack of congressional endorsements, so he did go on the offensive at least a couple of times. Let's listen.
You don't have one Republican senator backing you, not one. You don't have the endorsement of one Republican senator, and you work with these people.
Senator Cruz.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
There we go. Well, what about this? Let's talk about Super Tuesday and what's at stake.
Can I just say one thing? Why didn't Ted Cruz say, okay, yesterday you got the endorsement of David Duke? I mean, you have Sarah Palin, you have David Duke. This is great. I mean, if endorsements are important, and we know endorsements are not so important, as President Jeb Bush will tell you.
Well, the other thing is, if you look at polls, you find Trump ahead among Republicans, and then they do the one-on-one, and then they do what about Cruz against Hillary? What about Rubio against Hillary? And in those cases, Trump gets annihilated, and Cruz and Rubio do well, except the polls don't. Neither one of them is in a good position, that is Cruz and Rubio, to use them because, you know, there are polls that show the other might do better against Hillary. It seems like they can't even use that ammunition against Trump.
Well, Rubio's argument has been from the beginning, and I think the reason you're seeing establishment Republicans lining up behind him, Tom Tillis endorsed him, Rob Pittenger endorsed him. I know that prior to the Minnesota caucuses on Tuesday, former Governor Tim Pawlenty has endorsed him. They feel that the name of the game is winning. They got to keep Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders out of the White House, and the polls seem to show that Marco Rubio does the best, but Donald Trump says, look, you know, everybody loves me and everybody wants me, and even though his numbers, his unfavorability numbers are now 59% in the latest NBC poll, Hillary Clinton is only 50% unfavorable. I mean, it's remarkable that the two frontrunners for the two parties have such high unfavorability ratings, but for the most part, the Republicans are not buying the argument who could win. They want to know who could keep us safe and who could, you know, solve our problems. And Donald Trump, by giving simplistic messages, say he's the man to do it. And so far, voters are saying, you know, we're all with you.
What do you expect to see on Super Tuesday on the GOP side?
Well, you know, there are 595 delegates at stake, and right now Trump has a sizable lead over his competitors from winning. If Trump wins in Texas, I don't see why Ted Cruz goes on. And right now, unless this debate, everybody saw this debate and said, wait a second, I'm going to change my mind suddenly. Right now, the Trump momentum is there, and it's, I don't know what could be done, but we'll just see what happens on Tuesday.
And he's gaining ground. I mean, Cruz had a 15-point lead a couple of days ago in Texas. That has nearly evaporated. They're now neck and neck, according to some polls. So it's fascinating.
And look at the polls in Ohio. Trump is leading John Kasich. Look at the polls in Florida. Trump is leading Marco Rubio.
Double digits. So, yeah. Well, let's take the Democratic side. Clinton beat Sanders in Nevada. What does Super Tuesday look like for the Democrats?
Well, not good news for Bernie Sanders. I mean, basically, there are 974 delegates on Super Tuesday. Most of them in the South, and in many of these states in the South, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Virginia, a sizable African American population. Black voters seem to be overwhelmingly pushing towards Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders may have to win like Minnesota. Latino voters in Texas. This is not great terrain for Bernie Sanders, but he knows that, and he's looking beyond Super Tuesday to keep his campaign alive.
Let's come back here to North Carolina. The race for North Carolina's Senate seat is heating up. We have four Democratic challengers for incumbent Richard Burr. They're meeting for the first debate on Thursday. How safe is that seat?
Well, I think the debate I thought was last night, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it was. They met last night. The debate was last night.
And look, it was a half-hour debate. Oh, what I would give for a half-hour debate.
Yeah.
It looks like Deborah Ross, the former state representative, is the leading Democratic candidate. She's raised the most money, gotten the most endorsements. She, by focusing on Richard Burr, the Republican incumbent, it looks like she already thinks she has a nomination. She probably does. Burr, you know, I mean, he's a quiet leader in the Senate. He's very close to Mitch McConnell. I don't see anything right now that looks like it could topple him. And of course, you know, remember when he won in 2004, he had George W. Bush at the top of the ticket. When he was reelected in 2010, it was a big Republican year. I don't know what happens in November if, for example, Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president. But right now, I would say that Burr still looks like pretty comfortable for a third term.
The wild card is the turnout, and given the sort of the raucous nature of this election cycle so far, that could be a wild card in the election that
Absolutely.
Would then affect
I'm
these,
not predicting. You've taught me that I predict at my own peril.
Listen to the master, Ken.
Right.
Hang in there, Ken, because I know this next segment is going to be a lot of fun for you as it is for me. Just ahead, Ken and I talk with presidential historian Bill Luchtenberg about his latest book. We're going to look at the office of the presidency in the 20th century from Teddy Roosevelt through Bill Clinton. Stay with us for that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.